Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we can gather this evening for this special time of remembrance and of renewal. And we pray that as we meditate on your words, not only of the scriptures, but of the readings that are laid out before us this evening, may the reality of our relationship with Christ become whole, and may the reality of the relationship we have with one another in Jesus Christ be made more manifest. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This past Sunday, the Callistus stood at the baptismal fount holding Hudson and Savannah between them. They are surrounded by family and friends scattered throughout the church. Why are they standing there? They're there to experience God's rite of passage, the public administration of baptism. Who here played show and tell when they were a child? And if you did, can you even remember any of the items that you brought into school, those many years ago? Or have those memories faded away over time like old soldiers who never die, they just fade away? Show and tell is a common game about showing an audience something and then telling them something about it. It's a common classroom activity at early elementary school. It's used to teach young children the skills of public speaking. For example, a child will bring an item home or bring an item to school from home and will explain to the class why they chose that particular item, where they got it, and other relevant information. Or they will stand there and stare and freeze up, too afraid to say anything. I have to ask, do students today, this is a real question, do students today still play show and tell in their schools? In this school, I don't know. I hope so. But to come to think of it, show and tell is a game that we actually never outgrow. Adults today still play show and tell, except we no longer call it show and tell, do we? We now call it Facebook. And it's this idea of show and tell that leads me to the sacraments in general, and for tonight, the baptism in particular. And since we are all in need of a constant reminder, again, what is a sacrament? Question 66 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The question, what are sacraments? Sacraments are visible holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. And this is God's promise to grant us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross for us. I like that phrase, sacraments are visible, the show, to make us understand the tell. Or this from our own 39 articles. The sacraments instituted by Christ are not only badges or tokens of the profession of Christians, but are also sure witnesses and effectual signs of God's grace and goodwill towards us. Again, witnesses and signs. So the sacraments are visible. They're there for all people to see, given to us by God, and they tell us about God, his grace and the benefits we derive from him. And as we read through the Bible, you notice that God shows and tells us often a lot of the major components of who he is and who we are in relationship to him. God loves show and tell. The Bible is full of signs. To Noah, God gave the bow and the cloud, signifying his covenant with mankind. To Abraham, God gave circumcision, snip and clip, to signify his covenant with Abraham and his posterity. To Moses and the Israelites, God gave the Passover lamb to signify his covenant with his elect people. To the church, he gave baptism and the Lord's Supper to mark, sign, and seal the covenantal promises to us who are the spiritual seed of Abraham. All of them visible signs that speak to us of inward reality. So what about the sacrament of baptism? Chapter 28 in the Westminster Confession of Faith states, baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament ordained by Jesus, not only for the solemn admission of the party baptized into the visible church, but also to be unto him a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. Article 34 of the Belgic Confession has this to say about baptism. Baptism also witnesses to us that God, being our gracious Father, will be our God forever. So in general, we could say that baptism has meaning on multiple levels. On the historical level, within a few weeks of Jesus' resurrection, the apostles are preaching the gospel to people by the thousands, baptizing them in Jesus' name. And think of the long line of people who've come before you, parents, maybe your grandparents, your spiritual ancestors, who were welcomed into the church by baptism. On the theological level, you know baptism is a powerful sacrament that signifies the washing away of sin. It gives us a new identity as being engrafted into Christ's body. It connects us to a new community of believers. It's also a gateway that initiates us into a new way of living and provides a clear mission in life. And the mission of life is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, baptize in order that they might be disciples. But I like that one phrase, and it's not my phrase. I got it from one of the authors I was reading. It's the gateway that initiates us into a new way of living. On the physical level, like any sacrament, baptism makes visible and invisible reality. In other words, we see physical signs and rituals to express our experience with God. The symbols you see at a baptism ceremony include some of the following. The sign of the cross that Pastor Jorgensen did on Sunday. Do you remember when he did the sign of the cross? Did you see him do the sign of the cross? I had to stand up because I couldn't see from the back. But he does the sign of the cross. It's traced on the forehead of the one being baptized. This ritual action expresses that the mystery of the cross is at the heart of our faith. And that by this mark, the child visibly and publicly is now one of Christ's own. Speaking of marks, if you want to have a little enjoyment of a play on words, we could say that the mark of the cross in baptism replaces the mark of Cain on the believer's life. You know, you and I are born in and we enjoy living in the old man Adam and his son Cain. We love that life. Until we experience new life in Christ, we are his new children. He's our new owner, our new master. And then we become men and women of the line of the new Adam and his later son Seth. And then in his descendant, Jesus. The water used in baptism, whether it's sprinkling, whether it's pouring, whether it's immersion, the mode is not important. But when the person is being baptized, reminds us that we die and are buried with Jesus in order that what? We rise up with him, freed from the slavery of sin, and then we start the conquest of sin as servants of Jesus Christ. And this action that you see when it's been being performed with the water, the dying and being buried by the water, it's a reminder of how Moses led the Hebrews on their escape from Egypt. And how God parted the waters of the Red Sea as a gateway to their new liberation. Away from slavery and into the promised land. Now, as an aside, you may not know this, but many new churches or remodeled churches have the baptismal font near the main entrance to symbolize that we are all entering and have entered the church through the waters of baptism. Personally, I think that's a real powerful symbol. You can't come in church and avoid the font. Another symbol that we can see at baptism, sometimes a white garment, reflects that in baptism we put on Christ, taking on our new identity as sons and daughters of God. And then in some ceremonies, they have a baptismal candle. It represents the one true light of Christ, a light to guide the new believer throughout his or her life. And then finally, on the cultural level, baptism has meaning. Families often celebrate and they affirm all that happened at the altar by gathering after the ceremony in the gymnasium to enjoy one another's company, right? Share a meal, celebrate who we are and what we have together as God's covenantal family. So it happens here and then it continues on there. As the family of God. So what happens at a baptism? The church rejoices Because we have welcomed a new covenant member, and because we have once again celebrated the mysteries of God's love for us and our salvation. So tonight we gather together for the reaffirmation and renewal of our baptismal vows, taking hold of the promise, what? That the Holy Spirit, who has begun a good work in us, will continue it to the completion in Jesus Christ. Are you reminded of any of this while you are observing a baptismal ceremony? Do you use this time to hearken back and think about your own baptism? Did you this past Sunday? When you think of the ceremony of what you were witnessing, do you think of what happened to you, those many years ago? Is there anyone here this evening who knows their date of their baptism? I see some hands raised. To reaffirm your vows, wouldn't it be easier, I suppose, if you knew when it was when you took the vow? I did not know the date of my baptism until earlier last week. Why? Because, well, I had chosen, I guess, just to forget to remember. Which begs the question, is the baptismal anniversary date an important date to remember? That's kind of why we're here this evening. I now think it is, but I did not always think so. In the same way, some churches, they hold it in high esteem, Roman Catholic Church, while others do not, many Protestant bodies. What do you think? Is your baptismal vow important to you and to remember it? Which brings me to the topic of vital records and show and tell. So look at this. I was born, me, Philip John Lamboy, September 14th, 1955. I just told you I was 62 years old. Oh, well. So I have a baptismal record on September. I can come up here and stand when we do that every month, you know, when September comes around. So I have this record. I know I was born. My family celebrates my birthday, whatever. I have a record of it. Actually, I used to have two birth certificates, but I'll go into that another time. But we celebrated September 14th. It is set in stone. It's history. At least it's my history. And then Margaret and I got married on December 23rd, 1978. And so in December, come up here, we celebrate the anniversaries, right? We do this as a church, don't we? Birthdays, anniversaries. Well, then I found out I also have this, my certificate of baptism. Wow. I thought, when was I baptized? Well, June 24th. 1973. I was 17 when I was baptized. You'd think I could have remembered when I was 17 when I was baptized, but I couldn't. I might as well have been three. I wouldn't remember. But I was baptized. I have a birth certificate. I have a marriage certificate. I have a baptismal certificate. So what are your vital records? Where are you keeping your vital records? Isn't it safe to say that we all have a birthday? We can all agree because we're sitting here. Is that also true to say that many here we'll have or already have an anniversary day? Days that for the most part we look back on, remember, and celebrate. But what about our baptismal day? Is not this day also rooted in history in the same way as the other two days that we celebrate, birthday and anniversaries? And like the other two, isn't it a cause to continually celebrate? And if you say, well, I can't remember that day since I was an infant when I was baptized. Now you may be thinking that. Well, you were a younger infant when you were born, but that didn't stop you from celebrating that day. It all has to do with what we consider important, does it not? We place more importance on the physical than we do on the spiritual. John Calvin is very wise when he says this: the benefit which we derive from the sacraments ought by no means to be restricted to the day when they are ministered to us. The benefit of baptism lies open to the whole course of life, because the promise which it contains in it is perpetually in force. More recently, Hughes Oliphant Old statement stated, baptism is a sign under which the whole of life is to be lived. Our baptism is always with us, constantly unfolding throughout the whole of life. And so for us who have been baptized, you and I should remember and think upon our own baptism. Whenever we are shown and told another baptism, and if you were baptized as an infant, see in the infant before you the state that you were once in. And thank your parents, thank your godparents who made the promises for you in your stead that they desired for you to be set apart for Jesus Christ on that day. Baptism is an outward and visible action that connects a person to God in a covenant relationship, so it belongs in public worship. Baptism is a ritual of the faithful that speaks becoming a member of Christ's church. Baptism, it could be argued, is the root and foundation of the Christian life. I recently read that the entire season of Lent, while it's an extended meditation on the suffering and death of Jesus, is also preparation, is it not, for our remembrance of our baptism. I am reminded of Jesus' questions to disciples regarding John the Baptist. Matthew 11, verses 7 through 9. This is what Jesus says. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. In the same way, we could ask ourselves, what do you and I go out and see when we watch a baptism during the service? The water, the sign of the cross. You even see and hear words of institution, the vows and the promises. A white outfit, maybe a candle, the baby or the person. You know, yes, we see all those things. And it's the perpetual reenacting of God's covenant, faithfulness, and love to his elect sons and daughters. A love handed down from generation to generation to the next generation. Visible, public reminder that Jesus is with us and that he is always working out his will in each one of our lives. Set apart as his sons and his daughters to belong solely to him. So go home and find your baptismal certificate. Put it alongside your birth certificate. They both equally testify to you who you are. Born of the flesh, born of the water and the spirit. In the end, you and I are ultimately God's finest show and tell. By the way, we live out our lives between these two great events. The first birth and the second birth. Celebrate both of them. When you see a baptism, remember yours because your life is sandwiched between the two. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask for your forgiveness for me and any of us here who have taken our baptismal vows, well, maybe not at all, but very loosely, maybe quietly, and very nonchalantly. Do we pray that we would once again be restored to fellowship with you and that when we think upon our baptism, we can use it as once again the knot that ties us even closer to you. And the next time, Father, we do see a baptism as a congregation, may we as one not only celebrate with them, but be very thankful and very glad that you also chose us, marked us, and set it apart in our lives as well. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand to God.